This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Gwyneth is with us. Here's another tip from the book. And for those of you who have well pressure tanks, you know, like those blue tanks that supply pressure to your faucets, the idea is that when your well pump kicks on, it adds water to this pressure tank. And there's air in the pressure tank that presses against the water to push it out through your faucets. And the plan is, you don't want to have 100% water in that tank, because if you do, every time you turn on your faucet, the well pump would kick on. It would wear out the well pump very, very quickly. So there's two things that are in this book. One is, a larger well pressure tank will cause the well pump to cycle less often, and it will last much longer. So when you buy a new pressure tank to replace the old one, get a bigger one. Get one twice the size. And if you're putting in a new well, get the biggest one that you can afford, because your well pump will last much longer. But you have to make sure that you set it up properly. So let's say you have a well pressure tank where the cut-in pressure, meaning the pressure that the electronics, the sensor, the mechanical sensor, says, okay, time to turn the well pump on, time to energize the well pump. Let's say that's 30 psi, 30 pounds per square inch. You want to have an empty well pressure tank, drain all the water out of it, and add air to it such that it is at 2 pounds less than the cut-in pressure. So if the cut-in pressure of the relay that drives your or engages your well pump is at 30 psi, you want to set your pressure in the tank, an empty tank, to 28 psi, 2 pounds less. If you do that, everything will last longer. It's in the book. Where do you find these kinds of things? I don't know. These are just things that I've learned over time, teaching classes and reading and those kinds of things. Gwyneth, do you have any comments about the kinds of things that are, the tips that are in this book?
Yeah, I think this is the sort of things that people are going to have to know in the coming years, but I don't think they're written down anywhere. I don't know. Perhaps Stan Baio's book might be one. But this is more practical, everyday information that you can use right now, as well as what you can do when the apocalypse hits, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and Stan Deo is a great guy, and so is his wife, Holly Deo. And I've been on the phone with both of them. Stan Deo is a USA Prepares instructor. He's a wealth of knowledge. Brilliant, brilliant guy. So I have the greatest respect for Stan Deo and Holly Deo. And Holly Deo wrote a really fabulous, fabulous book on preparedness. You might want to look it up, Holly Deo, D-E-Y-O. Gwyneth, back to you. Gwyneth, are you there? Okay. So looks like we lost Gwyneth. And while Jason is trying to reconnect with Gwyneth, if you'd like to call, if you've got some questions, I'd be glad to pass them to Gwyneth if she's able to reconnect. Or you can talk to me And that telephone number here at Genesis Communications Network is 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. So some of the things that are in the list that Arjun is going to get together for us and publish on 5 Minute University. And one of the things, it's an abbreviated list of supplies that you should consider as our country devolves, as the second American Revolution and the second Civil War continue to simmer, and people are just more and more furious with the breaking of the supply chain, and things just get worse every single second. A couple hundred items. Number one, do you have a generator? And if you're thinking about sizing a generator, some people, if you go to the big box stores, they may advise you, I'm talking about the salespeople, they may advise you to buy one bigger than you need. Well, if you buy one bigger than you need, you're going to have to feed something bigger than you need. Now, if you think you're going to need more later, then, you know, you should probably get a bigger generator. But typically, I would consider getting the smallest generator that will fit your needs because it will use the least amount of fuel. And you don't want to load that generator to more than 80%. Otherwise, you will shorten its lifespan. So, for example, if it's a 5,000-watt generator, don't load it to more than 4,000 watts. And another thing to consider is the oil for the generator. Typically, those engines run, many of them run without an oil filter. The small single-cylinder generators. And if they don't have an oil filter, that means that the metal particles from the normal wear and tear inside the engine are going to circulate and help destroy the generator. Metal particles against metal wear surfaces and bearings. So you want to change the oil at the recommended level or interval. Now, what would that be? Well, typically 25 hours. It's 24 hours in a day. Now, some people are thinking that they can run their generator for 24 hours a day. I don't think that's going to happen. I'll tell you why. A generator will consume at least a half a gallon, typically, a half a gallon of fuel per hour. That's 12 gallons of fuel a day. Minimum. Some generators will consume a gallon of fuel an hour. That'd be 24 gallons a day. Who do you know that has 24 gallons of fuel? Probably not too many people. I'm talking about gasoline, right? So then that brings us to, are there alternative fuels? Well, yeah. Propane is a great fuel, but it doesn't provide the energy per gallon that gasoline does. And gasoline doesn't provide the energy that diesel fuel does. So of all the fuels, diesel has the most energy per gallon. Then gasoline, then propane. So if you want to store fuel, propane is number one because it lasts indefinitely. Unless the tank leaks because it's under pressure. And you can lose all your fuel with one small leak if you don't notice it. But propane is such a clean fuel that it doesn't contaminate the oil the way diesel and gasoline do. So you won't have to change the oil as often with propane. You can convert a single-cylinder gasoline engine generator to propane for less than $200. If you have a propane tank or if you decide you want to buy one and you want to run your small generator on that big tank, you can do that. And you can simply buy a propane conversion kit, and they sell them on eBay. They sell them all over the internet. And it's a simple kind of a conversion. And it works. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Rich Sheeben about this a couple days ago. And kind of an interesting thing. He has a generator. It runs on gasoline. Gasoline doesn't last that long. It gets kind of goofy after about 6 months. It doesn't volatilize as well. So you really can't store it for years and years and years, as far as I can tell. Maybe if you add stable or an equivalent, it might last longer, but I don't do that, so I don't know. Great. Glenn's back. So the bottom line, class, is you can convert an existing gas-powered generator to diesel fuel. I'm sorry, to propane. You cannot convert a diesel generator to gasoline or propane. It won't work. But the propane, literally, this would be something for an experiment, but I do not recommend you do it. You could literally, if you had a stream of propane coming out of a hose, this is really dangerous, so do not do this. But this kind of just lets you know the principle, and that's all I'm trying to do is teach you the principle of how this would work. If you had a stream of propane coming out of a hose, just a small, light stream of propane, and you had no gasoline in your tank of your generator, and you positioned this hose so that the propane would go into the air filter box, you could pull that cord and that generator would start just by the propane in the air in the air filter box mixing with the air in the atmosphere would run. And you could control the speed of that generator by adding more or less volume of propane. That is the principle by which a propane conversion unit works, except it's way safer. So don't do what I said. That was just an example of how it works. Don't do it. But you can convert your gas power generator to propane. That's in the book. Gwyneth, I'm glad you're back.
Yes, I think that our signal is getting messed with, because what happened was my cell phone began losing a massive amount of charge, and then the headset stopped working. This happens from time to time, and I've got it on speakerphone at the moment. But it was a really strange thing because it's not like the whole headset stopped working. Jason could still hear me on the microphone, but I couldn't hear him through the earpiece. And normally when a headset stops working, it goes in and out, and it's like a loose wire, if that makes sense. But the fact that it was a company with a massive drop in phone would indicate that, for whatever reason, somebody just decided somewhere that they were going to mess with us and, Stingray my phone to just suck all the charge out of the battery, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not the only one who's saying these kinds of things. There are other broadcasters who are experiencing the same thing. But I don't think it happens with the sports broadcasters. I don't think they have these kind of problems. I wonder why. I guess sports is more important. Gwyneth is with us. We're going into a break, commercial announcements, and we'll be right back.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. Says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
This was Gwyneth. I was reading some analyses on the reading level within the United States. And only 2% of the people in the United States have a good, really good reading level. Only 2%. 98% of them don't have a really good reading level. And it's hard to figure out exactly what that means, but it kind of sounds like the average... Typical reading level is such that eighth grade, writing at an eighth grade level, is about as high as people want to go. You know, 98% of people. It's unbelievable. But that explains something. That explains why USA Prepares, with the kinds of information that we provide, isn't number one worldwide in radio. Because it's too hard to understand what we're saying for many people, probably darn close to 98%. So those who are in class are really, really bright. It's as simple as that, which means that we're going to have a tough uphill climb in selling these books because you actually have to read at a pretty significant level to understand what we're trying to say. How about that?
Yes. Yeah, that's actually true. And, you know, everybody who's read my book, not just you, but everybody that reads my book, comes back to me and says, wow, this is really great. This is the best book I've ever read.
Mm-hmm.
And know, but despite that, I've sold just a handful of books since I've been written. And I think that it is what you're saying, is that people have gotten out of the way of reading. And people have especially gotten out of the way of reading print books. You know, that's actual books with covers that are printed out on paper. You know, you have to turn the pages to, you know, you can't just press the page and, you know, click it and get on to the next page. You actually have to physically turn the page. This is it. And people have gotten out of the way of doing that. And that's part of the reason why, you know, my books have not been selling well. It's not because of the quality of the writing, because everybody who reads them has the same opinion that you have, Vincent. So, you know, and they say, this is the best book we've ever read. Or this is up there with the best book that we've ever read. And, when I publish letters to Vincent, it is, and also because of the thing of packages getting thrown off the back of trains. You know, I don't want anybody to miss out on their book. So when Letters to Vincent is published, it's going to be published as a print book, but also as an e-book. Because I think that that is, well, it's just how it is, that probably about over 80% of book sales now are actually in e-book form. So, you know, I personally, if it was up to me, I would say, no, you know, you don't get the print book, because I'm a big fan of actual books. I don't like reading e-books. I don't think that it's very good for the eye to read e-books, to be staring at a screen. And I don't think that it's very good for the mind either. I think that the mind gets more of a benefit out of handling a print book and actually turning the pages than it does out of reading an e-book. And I might be wrong. And, you know, but I think that there is more to reading a print book than there is to reading an e-book. Does that make sense, Vincent?
Yes, I agree with that. I can't read e-books. I can't do it. It has to be, I can read the internet, and I turn the screen way dim, but I really prefer probably 99 to 1, maybe 1,000 to 1 printed books. Here's something interesting. The U.S. teens between grades 9 and 12 are reading on the fifth grade
level. Jake
was
in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The House is voting today on a bill to help ease the baby formula shortage. It will give emergency authority to the WIC program. That means people who rely on WIC vouchers for food assistance could use them for any brand of formula and not be restricted. This as these moms in Portland, Oregon say it's been a struggle for months to get formula.
I post it on Facebook. I have my dad looking at Walmart in Mexico. I have my friends and family looking. I've gone to four or five stores in a day looking for formula.
Gas prices jumping another 4 cents overnight. The record high for regular in the United States is now up to $4.56 a gallon. The highest prices are out west, where the statewide average in Alaska, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, and Nevada are all over $5 a gallon. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is lobbying to give $28 million to the FDA in the wake of the baby formula shortage amid supply chain issues and the FDA's formula recall following the death of two infants. Speaker Pelosi holding a press conference to talk about the bill and the shortage.
There is also some attitude in the country that there is plenty of supply. It's just not all in the right places. But there must be a computer program that tells us where that is. If that is so, then let's get that moving right this minute into the mouths of babies.
The bill would address baby formula supply chains, laboratory and development methods, unsafe infant formula, fraud, and provide other workforce resources. Alaska Airlines is confirming a passenger recently died during a flight. The company announcing the unidentified passenger died Monday while on a flight from Seattle to Nashville. The passenger was removed once the plane landed at Nashville International Airport. The cause of death has not been revealed. The Westminster Dog Show is back on. The 2022 event is being held from June 18th to June 22nd at the Lyndhurst Estate in New York. The event was originally set to be held in January, but was postponed because of the Omicron surge. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
It's going to be sliding.
What are today's hot...
What? Today, God, you're...
Take my...
When you go...
For 2 seconds...
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
You know, we're talking about the reading level and seriously, class. Yeah. The reading level of American children in grades 9 through 12 has been found to be 5.3. That means children in high school are reading at the fifth grade level. Fifth grade level. How is it possible that we can expect these five, F-I-V-E?
Yep. Fifth.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Five. That's not Gwyneth's fifth grade level of what I was reading when I was in the fifth grade.
No.
That's
no.
Not
this
what Gwyneth
is
reading. No.
No, this is Americans grades 9 through 12. According to AmericanEnglishDoctor.com, Americans, there's a survey that the teens in grades 9 through 12 are reading at 5.3 grade level, just above fifth grade, less than sixth grade level. Now, how is it possible? How is it possible that someone who has graduated high school, reading at the fifth grade level, can prepare an income tax return? How is that possible? How is it possible that someone reading at the fifth grade level is going to be able to start his or her own business? How is it possible that someone at that reading level will be able to read a bank statement, a credit card statement, a loan application, a mortgage loan application, or understand how to read the manual of an automobile? What you're seeing is the reason, what you're hearing is the reason why people can't fix their cars, change their oil, replace the headlight bulb, check their tires. They can't do it because they're reading at 5.3 grade level. That's the problem. Now, how is it possible that this... I'm sorry, I missed that.
You know what I was reading when I was in fifth grade? I was reading Sherlock Holmes, The Hound of the Baskervilles. And not the kids' version. I was reading the grown-up version, the adult version, and I think that my, I think I actually had a copy of it, although it might have been borrowed from the library. But I remember this book, and I remember picking it up and reading it, because it wasn't that thick. It was only a very thin book, and I thought, oh, this will probably be easy to read. I'll probably be able to get through this in no time. And I read it. And that was the first, I remember that was the first novel that I ever read. And although it wasn't a very thick book, it was quite complicated. It's quite a complicated storyline, and it's quite a, you know, a sophisticated, it's probably higher than what people would normally regard as being a fifth grade reading level.
Gwyneth, you might remember the spoof that we did, the double speak spoof. Rick Miller and I did, and I read a few lines of it. Well, I took that we'll call it a manuscript. I took that I wrote. I wrote it by myself. I just sat at the keyboard and wrote that. And then I decided that I wanted to know what grade level that double speak, we'll call it class, was. And it came out to the 27th grade level, 27. Now, so you can go to the 8th grade, you can go to high school, that would be grade 12. You can go to college, that would add another 4 more years, right? That would be grade 16. I don't know anybody who's gone to the 27th grade level. I don't. But that's what the Fleisch... I just took the text, poured it into the Fleisch-Kincaid algorithm to figure out what grade level it was, and it came out to grade number 27. That might explain why nobody understood what I was saying.
Yeah. I might have just that it was kind of tricky to understand. You know,
it was really absolutely. You know, just one sentence, I'm looking at it right now. Just one sentence from the double speak class. While some convoluted iterations have devolved into pernicious levels, a few have reached. That's it. Another. Here's another one. Widely known is the retentive nature, or, for the most part, inattentive nature, of those remotely and partially participating in the auditory event currently transpiring. So those are just two sentences from the doublespeak class. I'll have to do that. You know, Bert wanted to do a doublespeak class, and, you know, it's kind of a slippery slope. Doing a doublespeak class, we may not get taken seriously if we do that kind of thing too often. You know, once a year, I think, is enough. Bert wanted to do it a couple times a year. But we have to make sure that everybody knows that's what we're doing so they don't think that we've, you know, that we're nuts. But anyway, Gwyneth, this is a problem. This is a problem for you and me and everyone else in this world, because what we're finding is that the people who are at the other side of the counter when we buy things, in the stores, the salespeople have no clue what they're doing. And I talked to a store manager, I mentioned it yesterday with Rich, I was on the phone with a store manager at a farm supply, a big farm supply operation, huge. I'm talking about the size of a standard Walmart store. Not a supercenter, but, you know, the standard size Walmart store. And they're having trouble finding young employees that can lift the bags of fertilizer and dog food and you know, put them on display and guide customers. Like, do you have one of these for my fence? Do you have one of those? And have the employee actually know what it is. Half of the employees have no clue and cannot work with customers. They don't know how to do it. How did we get to the point in the United States of America where young people can't engage customers? How is that possible? You know, it used to be that young people would want to work at a place like McDonald's after school. They'd love it. An after-school job, get them some spending money. They'd interact with people. And their friends would come and, you know, buy hamburgers from McDonald's because their friend was behind the counter. So friends would kind of gravitate. And McDonald's figured that out. McDonald's figured out that if they hire Susie, then a whole bunch of Susie's friends are going to buy hamburgers to see Susie behind the counter. Or Jimmy. And that's it was a great thing. I had a job, not at McDonald's, but at a submarine sandwich shop after school, high school days. And it was great. And I learned how to engage customers. You know, I'd like a number six. Okay. Would you like a half or a whole number six? Great. Would you like hot peppers on that? Would you like onions on that? Would you like oil, vinegar, and mayonnaise on that? Okay. And I'd say, okay, so you would like a number six with hot peppers, sweet peppers, lettuce, onions, tomato, salt, pepper, oil, vinegar, and mayonnaise. Is that right? Great. I'm making it right now. It's as simple as that. And if you don't do it that way, and you say to the customer, may I help you? And they say, I'd like a number six. And you make a number six. Whoa. You put hot peppers on that? What's the matter with you? You can avoid all that by getting that solved up front, right? And young people need to know this, and the boss needs to teach them this, how to interact with people. And if you talk to people who have these jobs on the telephone, where they are customer service representatives working from home, talking to customers, and you ask them, and you might want to try this, because I have asked them, so what's it like? What's the interview like? Oh, they want to know how you handle stress. They want to know how you would handle a customer who starts yelling at you. That's what they want to know. Can you handle the stress of customer interaction? Now, if you consider the fact that customers are operating on the fifth grade reading level, they don't have a clue. They have no idea how to use the products that are getting more and more complicated by the minute. They're getting really frustrated. The customers are. And they're taking it out on the employees who have no clue what they're doing. It's like the worst possible scenario. Gwyneth, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And one thing that I've done in my life is I've actually worked in telephone customer service. I actually worked as a tarot reader doing psychic readings for people over the telephone. And I worked for one of the biggest psychic companies in the world, and one that has a lot of ads on cable television and such like. But the thing is, I don't do that anymore. For one thing, they sacked me as a result of the downsizing, so it wasn't anything that I did. I was doing great. And then one morning I got up, went to log in for my work, and I couldn't log in. I contacted my supervisor, and my supervisor said, wow, what's going on here? And then she made some inquiries and found out that they had an executive meeting at the psychic company, and they decided to downsize. And they just pulled names out of a hat and sucked them. And I was one of those names. And it wasn't anything that I'd done. They just booted me off their platform for absolutely no reason whatsoever. But I was, I've considered getting back into that line of work, but and I may do it again at some time. But what sort of makes me think maybe I don't want to do that work anymore is towards the end it was getting that people were wanting me to tell them what to do with their life. And the thing about the psychic reading is that you go and see the psychic and you should not expect the psychic to tell you what to do with your life. You should expect them to give you another point of view, give you some fresh perspectives on what might be going on in the background of things that you haven't considered.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Gwyneth, I'm kind of toying with the idea of putting some of the fabricated buzzwords into the 5-Minute University to show that we actually did this and people didn't get it. And, you know, using words like didactic reemptivity and tuned differential refluctance fabricated illusionary postulate, triordinal resonance, sarcoptic radii, and, you know, made up words like those, radial anectizer. I'll leave it up to you if you want to include some of this. we can talk about the how people just don't pay attention. Pyrogenic axis or axi. Memorial illusionary persistence. Adhesive lubrication. Reductive forensics. Here's one. Intermittent gravitational force. There's no such thing. Gravity is 100% on. It's not intermittent. It is on all the time. Gwyneth, what else would you like to cover in the few minutes we have remaining of today's class?
Okay. What I've been doing this week is I've finished the mangles, planting the mangle seeds, but I've got more mangle seeds coming in the post. And what I'm doing while I'm waiting for the next lot of mangle seeds to arrive is I went out and I had a look at my garden and I found that my potatoes had gone forth and multiplied. And so what I did was I went to one potato plant and I put a garden fork underneath it and gently lifted it out of the soil, and I found that it wasn't one potato plant, it was actually 8 potato plants in the one place. And so I said, huh, fancy that. So I got those 8 potato plants that I very carefully separated out from the compost soil that I had lifted up, and I planted them in 8 holes, and I planted those 8 potatoes in the 8 holes, and I, you know, backfilled them. And by the way, this is how you plant a potato. okay? You dig a hole. You dig the deepest hole that you possibly can when you're transplanting potato plants. This is not the seed potatoes. Seed potatoes should be planted about 6 inches deep. But often when you get potato shoots, plants that have grown up from a potato that's been, potato plant that's been forgotten, they will produce a stem that might be two feet long. So you need to dig the deepest hole that you possibly can and put the potato in the bottom of the hole with the root and make sure that there is a tuber, that there is an actual potato, if you can, on the root, because that will act as a food store and a water store for the potato plant as it's reestablishing itself, okay? So you dig the deepest hole that you possibly can, and you put that potato plant at the bottom of the hole and gently backfill it, and so that there's just a little bit of potato plant growing out the top, and then you water it, or you can just leave it if it's here. Like at the moment, we've got a lot of humidity here, so I'm just burying the potatoes and just mulching around them and just leaving them because there's enough humidity and, you know, we're getting rain every now and again. And so there's enough moisture and enough humidity, I think they'll be okay. But what that will do is it will grow roots all along that potato stem all up to just below the surface. And what that means is that it will grow potatoes along every place on the stem that it's grown roots. So you'll get more potatoes that way. And I've been doing this and digging up potatoes that I've found around the garden, and that I've got a lot more potato plants than I had a week ago. Well, actually, I don't, but they're actually spread out into the garden. I've made up more beds and filled in places in my potato garden where the potatoes died or whatever. And so my aim is to have between 300 and 400 potato plants growing at least. And I think I'm going to get there this year. And then probably next year I'll have, about 800 to 1,000 potato plants. And this is how you feed yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, class, we've been hammering home this point here at USA Prepares. Food is number one. It really is. And all of us, Dr. Sheely, Rich, Gwyneth, I, Kyle, all of us are working on food.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.